Turn in your Bible, if you could, to back to the text that was read in your hearing, back in Luke chapter 1. Luke chapter 1, verses 22 through 36 will be the verses that will be for our meditation this evening. Luke chapter 2, verses 22 through verse 36. Let's bow our heads and ask the Lord to help us as we look into His Word. Our Father and our God, it's not by might, it's not by strength, it's not by our own wisdom, but it's by the power of the Lord that we can do anything. And we ask You this evening that in a very special way, You might come and be with us, Your people, that we would hear from You, we would hear the lessons from Your Word, and that You would speak to us, comfort by the Holy Spirit. Thank You for Your people, and we pray in Jesus' name, amen. As we begin this evening, I was thinking about the whole idea of having to wait for something. And maybe this isn't the best illustration, but the one that comes to my mind was growing up, my grandmother would come to visit us in Cincinnati. And this was back before 9/11, so we could get right up close to where the airplanes were landing, and we could watch, and we would see that airplane. I think it was Piedmont Air, maybe, and the airplane would land, and we would watch, and then people would start to come out, and you could get really close back then to those that were coming off the plane, and so somebody would come off, and somebody would come off, and we'd be watching for my little short grandmother with her curly white hair, and one would come out, and then finally Grandma would come out, and she'd say, "Stephen," and we all rush, and we'd hug my grandmother. We would be so excited that she had arrived. Well, that's just a really small story about waiting and about expectation. But tonight, as we study the Scriptures, we're going to see just a little bit about Simeon and about Anna as they waited much their whole life. And then the Lord Jesus, the baby Jesus, coming there to the temple on that special day. My title for my message is just really ordinary and regular. It's called Lessons from Luke 2, 22 through 36. Lessons from Luke 2, 22 through verse 36. But I hope that maybe beginning to look at these verses will be an encouragement to you, and you can go back and look at them more and study them as the Lord will give you help. Now, right before what we're going to consider this evening, the Christmas story has happened in all its wonder and in all its beauty. The Lord Jesus has been born there in the manger. We remember how the angels had announced His birth and how they had said, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace, goodwill towards men." Honestly, if you study the Scriptures, you'll see that the angels are very active in the ministry of Jesus at even before His birth, and then speaking, if you think about Him, the angels speaking to Mary and speaking to Joseph and then announcing Christ's birth. And then you'll see the Lord Jesus having angels coming to Him at His temptation, the angels there at His resurrection, the angels there at His ascension, and of course the angels coming back with Him in glory in the last day at His coming. The angels very active in the ministry of our Lord Jesus. Well, in the verses again previous, the angels have come and they've announced this message of glory and of salvation. And then the shepherds have gone to Bethlehem and they have seen Christ there in a manger. In fact, if you look, I believe it's at verse 15, the angels, it says, "When the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, 'Let us now go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us.' And they went, and with haste, and they found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in the manger. And when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told them concerning this child. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds had told them." So those are the verses that just precede the verses that we're going to be looking at this evening. And then in verse 21, we have that the Lord Jesus was circumcised on the eighth day according to the directives of the law. And then we come to the words that we're going to look at for this evening. My first principle then is that Jesus fulfilled the law. Jesus fulfilled the law. Now, there's so much more that I could say under this topic this evening, but Jesus fulfilled all of the law of God. I don't know how many of the different places in the ceremonial law and in the moral law and in all the law of Moses, Jesus was fulfilling each and every aspect of the law. He was accomplishing our salvation. And not one of the promises, not one of the things that were spoken about him would not be fulfilled. And so this is just one more account here in this text that we look at this evening. I want you to notice that his family took the appointed offerings that were mentioned in Leviticus. His parents bring him up to Jerusalem because of what has been written in the law. They are fulfilling what was written about him. All those types and all those shadows in the Old Testament have to be fulfilled. And so they bring the Lord Jesus up to Jerusalem, and they're going to offer this sacrifice. More than likely, Mary and Joseph were poor. It doesn't directly say that in the text, but it seems from the type of offering that they gave that they were poor, that he was born of common parents. And even as our brother prayed just a little while ago, he was not rich, but for our sakes, he became poor that we through his poverty might be made rich. We would think that the Lord Jesus, that somebody like Jesus would have parents of royalty, parents of wealth, parents of high esteem. But that was not the case. He was just like us, common and small and not known among the people of his time. We notice, too, that this happened exactly 40 days after his birth. His parents, Mary and Joseph, were following the principles that were laid out in the Old Testament, particularly Leviticus 12, verse 8. And they did not have, as you might have noticed, they did not have a lamb to offer. You can think about that a little bit. But instead, they just had these turtle doves. The Ligonier Ministry, if you look at their website, they say this about this particular part of the scriptures. Jews of the first century AD followed a number of customs when a baby was born. According to Leviticus 12, the mother of a male baby had to go through a time of purification that lasted 40 days. At the end of that period, she had to bring a burnt offering and a sin offering. Ordinarily, the burnt offering had to be a lamb, while the sin offering would be a pigeon or a turtle dove. Those who were poor and could not afford a lamb were permitted to offer one of these birds for the burnt offering and for the sin offering. And in the case of the firstborn child, the baby was consecrated to the Lord, an act that involved visiting the sanctuary and paying a fee of 5 shekels to the priesthood to buy a non-Levite child back from a life of temple service. And that's exactly what's happening in the life of our Lord Jesus. The second principle that I want you to see this evening in this text is that in Jerusalem, there were those who waited for his coming. There were those who waited for his coming, most specifically Simeon and Anna. And let's look at each of them and their response to Christ. So first of all, let's try to look for just a little bit at Simeon. And if you can turn over to verse right around verse 26 and verse 25, it says, verse 25, now there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and this man was righteous and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. So let's look at the description of this man, Simeon. Who was he? Well, the scripture simply says that he was a righteous and devout man. Now, that's much the same as what has been said of Zacharias earlier. He was a man who did good deeds. He was a man who followed after the Lord. He was a man who was devout in his consecration to the Lord. He was coming up to the temple time by time there. He was a man who was righteous. He was a man who feared God, who trusted in God, who believed in God. And notice, too, about his description that it says that he was waiting for the consolation of Israel. Just like I said in my illustration earlier, he was hoping that one day that great one that had been prophesied in the Old Testament would come and would save the people from their sins. And so let's just look at two Old Testament prophecies in relation to that. First of all, turn your Bible over to Isaiah chapter 7 and verse 14. You're probably familiar with Isaiah 7 verse 14, but I'll highlight just these two texts. Isaiah 7 verse 14. Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and you shall call his name Emmanuel. And then over in chapter 9 and verse 6 and verse 7, for to us a child is born, for to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and of peace there shall be no end. And on the throne of David and over his kingdom, to establish it and to uphold it with justice and with righteousness from this time forth and forevermore, the zeal of the Lord will do this. So Simeon was a man who was waiting for the consolation of Israel. He was waiting for the Lord to come. And notice this special thing that the Holy Spirit had shown him and done for him. The Holy Spirit had said, according to verse 25, that it had been revealed to him, rather verse 26, had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And so in some way, by the Holy Spirit, Simeon knew that he wouldn't die until he had seen the Lord's Christ. Now, can you just imagine how each and every day must have been for Simeon? Wake up each morning and think, well, will today be the day that if I see the Lord's Christ, then it my life will be done. And so each day he would wake up with expectation and with joy, wondering, is today the day? Will I see the Lord? And notice that the Spirit had revealed to him that he would see the Lord's Christ. And that just means the Lord's Messiah. Everyone, and if you again can go to your Old Testament text, go to the Old Testament prophecies, go to Isaiah, Jeremiah, Hosea, some of those other places where the Lord Jesus is being prophesied that he's going to come. He's going to be God's Messiah. He's going to fulfill all those things that are said about him. Most especially if we think about Isaiah 53 and some of the special things that are said about him, that he would bear the chastisement for our sins, that he would be despised, that he would be rejected by men, that he would be a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, as one from whom men hide their faces. He was despised and we esteemed him not. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. He was going to see the Lord's Christ. That's what the Holy Spirit had told him. And so he waited in expectation for the Lord. So that's his description. And before I move on, can I just ask you, what's your description? How do people describe you? What's the big thing you're known about? And oh, I do hope tonight that it would be just that. You're someone who is yourself waiting for the consolation of Israel. Though not like Simeon of old, but you're waiting for his coming. You love the Lord Jesus. He's your Savior. And he's your Lord. Well, in the goodness of God, a special day came for Simeon. And if you'll keep reading, you can see that. Verse 27 says, and he came in the Spirit into the temple, Holy Spirit guiding him and directing him. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him according to the custom of the law, he took him up into his arms and he blessed God. So now you kids, just think about this. What must have happened on this day? This is 40 days after Jesus has been born, okay? And as he came into the temple, there was a little baby and parents who were there with him. Now, it was kind of like you kids, like a coincidence. Now, of course, it wasn't a coincidence. It wasn't something that happened by accident. It happened in the providence of God. But it seemed like these things just kind of crossed paths. You know, you kids, you ever been like going to the store with your mom or your dad, and then one of your friends is also at the store with their mom and dad, and you run into them, you're able to see them, and you're able to feel joy as you see them? Well, this is kind of like what happens here on this day, on this special day. It's just another day. Simeon gets up, gets himself ready. He remembers the promise of the Spirit, I'm sure. And he heads to the temple, that glorious building, that place where the glory of the Lord and the presence of the Lord was especially there, where there were all these special pieces of furniture and sacrifices and altars that all were pictures of what the Lord Jesus truly was. And so Mary and Joseph start coming into the temple, and Simeon starts coming into the temple. It's almost like a movie, you know, that we're watching, and they're like coming and they're getting closer and closer and closer together. And Mary and Joseph are going to offer up their turtle doves there, and Simeon is coming in, and it's like they just run into each other. But it was all directed by the Holy Spirit. And when the parents, it says, brought in the child Jesus to do for him according to the custom of the law, he took him up in his arms. Now, we're not supposed to take other people's babies, you know, out of their arms for sure here. But this was a holy moment directed by the Holy Spirit. And so Mary and Joseph see this old man come up. And maybe they were directed by the Holy Spirit as well. We don't know. But he takes the child Jesus into his arms. That must have been really awesome. You see, Simeon was waiting for the consolation of Israel. And I believe Simeon knew his Old Testament. He knew that, like those verses in 7:14 and 9:6 and others, this baby that was going to be born of the virgin. And so he didn't expect some royal brigade or some fanciness, if you will. He takes up this child Jesus, and then it can imagine the joy, the smile on Simeon's face as he is now seeing the consolation of Israel. What better term could we be ministered to this evening than that Jesus is the consolation of Israel, the very comfort, the true comfort of Israel? Well, wow. So we've seen his description. We've seen this special day, what I've called his special day. Now let's look at his prayer. Now, I'm not going to unfold all the words and have probably a very great outline for the prayer that he prays. But he prays this wonderful prayer. He probably prayed it out loud. And as he was holding the baby Jesus in his arms, he blesses God. His heart fills up with joy and with gratitude to his Lord. And he says, my eyes have seen my salvation. There's so much that we could think about in those words. My eyes have seen my salvation. He is going to be my salvation. He's the one who's going to be stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. In other words that we could read from Isaiah 53. He says that this one is going to be a light to the Gentiles. Now, old Simeon, he's pretty progressive, wasn't he? He saw past just there being Jews gathered in to there being Gentiles, to being other nations that were going to be gathered in. This is an amazing statement for a Jew to make. But he says he's going to be a light for revelation to the Gentiles. In other words, just putting it real simply, that's us. He's going to be salvation to us. And many will see him, in other words, and be saved. Notice that he also says he's going to be the glory to your people Israel. And I think sometimes we forget how many Jews were also converted and brought to Christ. The 12 or the 11 disciples and the others that were with Jesus, the 70 that were sent out, those that met in the upper room, those early days in Jerusalem when God was saving and gathering to himself. Remember, there was the 5,000 and the 3,000, so many gathered together. And then as Paul's ministry throughout all the different places, yes, he was for the salvation of those Jews and still is, both for the Gentiles and for the Jews. And so Simeon says, the glory to your people, Israel. And then he also says a blessing. that his prophecies would be that Jesus would be for the fall and rising of Israel. And that's a little bit later on in the text. So just imagine this moment. Simeon coming into the temple, Mary and Joseph being in the temple, and this great blessing and praising of the Lord by this old man, Simeon. Now, just when this is over, and you'd think, wow, we could just think about this for just a little while. And you can imagine the thoughts that are going through Mary and Joseph. I mean, Mary, did you hear what he said? He said he's for the rising and fall of many in Israel. He's for he's salvation. He's a light to the Gentiles. I mean, you know, he's just. Then we have another person who comes along as well, and that's Anna. And so let's take a few minutes and just look at Anna as well. And we'll kind of do the same kind of thing. Let's look at Anna's description. The Bible tells us about Anna, verse 36, that she was a prophetess. That is, that she prophesied of the things of the Lord. And it also gives a little bit about her genealogy, that she was from the tribe of Asher. And that's just encouraging to think that there were those in some of those tribes that the Lord had worked into their heart, and that they feared the Lord, and that they were walking with him. And so her lineage, of course, is addressed. But probably the thing that you noticed the most when Brad was reading was that her age, right? And I think the thing that you would probably note, you young people, you might note, was that she was old. In fact, as it says, she was advanced in years, verse 36b. She was advanced in years, having lived with her husband 7 years from when she was a virgin, and then was a widow until she was 84. So she was a very old lady. And she could have been even older than 84 if you look at actually the way the text is written in the Greek. For you young people and kids again, I can remember sitting in church, especially around Christmas time with my grandmother. And there was a lady who used to come to the church that my grandmother and my grandfather pastored. And her name was Mrs. Mountcastle. And she was very old. At least it seemed like it to me. I know she couldn't drive. And I remember how my grandmother would talk about Miss Mountcastle's age, and at least at that time, being 4 or 5 years old, she seemed like she was very old. She may have been in her 90s by that time. I found out later she made neat quilts, too. But I was always amazed at her age and that she could come to church. It just seemed to me that when you were that old, you know, how she was able to do that. But she had someone who would drive her and bring her on to the church meeting. She lived to be over 100, my aunt told me just recently. But she was very great with age. And yet, Miss Mountcastle made it a practice to come to church. It might also remind you of Miss Ann DeLoach and how Miss Ann would always come so regularly. And though she couldn't drive, and though she had many health issues, yet she could attend the services better than any of us here. Well, that's what Anna was like. She was a very old lady. But she was a very old lady who loved the Lord and who gave herself to the things of the Lord. And the third thing that I want to tell you about her is about her life. And to me, there can't be too much more that you would want to be known about your life than what's said about her. And that is, as it says at the end of verse 37, she did not depart from the temple, worshiping with fasting and prayer night and day. Now, it could be that Anna actually had a special room there at the temple where she would have prayer and where she would say the words of the Lord to people. Or it could be that she would get up every morning from wherever she lived and she would come down to the temple. She would give herself to prayer and to fasting. But what better activity could this dear lady do than day after day, year after year, give herself to praying and to seeking the Lord in prayer and in fasting? Now, I'm not jump too far off the topic of fasting, except to say that fasting isn't easy, is it? And maybe as you think about this new year, devotion to God, maybe that would be something that you might take up, either a full fast or a partial fast. And you can study more about that. And Donald Whitney's book, Spiritual Disciplines, has a very excellent chapter on fasting. But I think we could be just a wee bit rebuked to find an 84 or even 100-year-old lady who is giving herself to fasting and prayer. We have still much to learn, don't we? But she loved the Lord, and she longed to see the coming Messiah. That's what she longed for. She longed to see him. And I want you to notice that at verse 38, a very special thing happens in her life. After all these days of waiting, and after all these days of prayer and fasting, and even giving words of prophecy as the Lord gave them to her, verse 38 says, "And coming up at that very hour, she began to give thanks to God and to speak of him to all who were waiting for the redemption of Israel." So she must have been watching on as what was going on with Simeon and with Mary and Joseph and the Lord Jesus. And so, can you imagine this 84-year-old lady or older, that very hour, beginning to just say, "Oh, I thank the Lord. I thank you, Lord, that I have seen your Messiah. I have seen your Son. Oh, and I am so happy about him. He has come for salvation. He has come to do the will of the Lord." She knew her Old Testament well, too. And she blessed and she gave thanks to the Lord. And then the third thing that I want to say to you about her, not only her description, not only about her life, but about her proclamation. And that's her proclamation. She began to tell others about the Lord. And that's just so precious. So you can see her coming out of the temple, having seen the Lord and given thanks to the Lord and saying, "Oh, I've seen the Lord. The Lord has sent his Messiah. The Lord has sent his Son just like he promised. It shall become a son and shall call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins." Do you know? And what a testimony of witness it even is to each of us tonight. We don't have to be eloquent. We don't have to have high degrees, but we have what the Lord has done in our hearts, and what we have seen, and what we have understood, and what we have known, and that we can proclaim. What was the song? It just kind of went through my mind. I know he lives, and I can face tomorrow. I know he lives. All fear is gone. I know who holds the future. So her proclamation, she began to tell others about the Lord who were also waiting for him. So that means, everyone, that there weren't just like two people who were excited for the coming of the Lord, Simeon and Anna. But you got the shepherds, you got the wise men, you got Simeon and Anna. And then there were these others as well, these unnamed others. Now, I want you to think, just before we move on here, about the purpose of God in Revelation. Of all the things that God could tell us, and maybe you're like me, there's some things I would be like, "Lord, could you have put that in the Bible? I'd like to know that." Then I'll just know that, you know. The Lord gives us these testimonies of these two faithful ones, Simeon and Anna, and how they love the Lord, how they prayed to the Lord, and how they're given special honor as they point us and they help us to see the Lord a little better than if it had just been like Jesus went to the temple and then we moved on. Lots of things are going to happen at the temple, but we'll leave that to another time. Let me just give you a few lessons then as we close this evening. Make much of Jesus in the circumstances in which you find yourself. Make much of Jesus in the circumstances in which you find yourself. And I want you to notice, and for those of you online, I'm sorry I haven't given you a more direct shout out yet, but these were old saints in the Lord. But this didn't stop them from prayer and humble acts of service to the Lord. And maybe there's some of you here tonight, or more than likely some of you who are listening online. If we look through the directory, there are a number of you who are listening online. And you are older and advanced in years, and not as strong as you would want to be or that you used to be. But let this text of Scripture be a mighty encouragement to you that the Lord values your service. The Lord values your prayer for us and for the church, your fastings, your prayer, your devotion to Christ. You're making much of the difficult situation that you may find yourself in there at home. And notice how Anna continued to tell others about the fact that Jesus had come. And so you too, tell others much about the Lord Jesus Christ as you can. And those of us here tonight, the same. Tell it over again to me, those wonderful words of life. Sing it o'er and o'er again. Christ redeemeth sinful men. So let us determine that in 2021, among everything else, we'll make much of Christ in our words and in our proclamation. The second lesson I'd like you to see is that Jesus fulfills all the law. And I'm not doing very well, and maybe if I was better prepared, I would do better. But I just want you to think a while about that and go back to your house and study that out, about how he was fulfilling all the law for us. Not one part of the law, not one part of all God's word did Jesus miss. He didn't get to the cross and like, I've left off a couple of things. It's just not like that. But he fulfilled every single part of the law. You know, he would return to the temple again and he would be crucified. And then that temple veil, right, would be ripped in two. And there would be no more going to that temple. Right? We don't have to bring any turtle doves. Right? We don't have to bring a lamb and have it slain, put the blood out on the altar like they did back then. And they did that by faith for the coming, the one that was to come. Jesus fulfilled all the law. And so we don't have to do that anymore. We have the fulfillment. So think about that with your Savior. How careful he was and all God's law for your salvation. And so when you put on the coat of his righteousness, it's a complete coat. It's a perfect coat. Another lesson I would want to share with you is Jesus is the Savior of the world. Tonight, near Christmas 2020, there is a lot of fear. There's a lot of sickness. There's a lot of strife. And what message do we have for the people around us, for our neighbors, for our friends? It's simply this, that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. That though he was rich, yet for our sakes he became poor. That he came into the world and he laid down his life for our sins. He laid down his life for us. Are there any here tonight or online who've not believed and trusted in Jesus Christ? You know, his name is Jesus, and they shall call his name Jesus. Why? Well, because he will save his people from their sins. That's why he has this name. It means salvation. And so tonight, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Have the response of Simeon and Anna to the Lord. I will believe. I repent of my sins. I believe on you, Lord Jesus, and you will be saved. Well, for us who are believers tonight, and those of you watching online, and everyone here in this room, let's commit ourselves in 2021 to be like Anna and to be like Simeon. And in our circumstances, where he's placed us, even tomorrow, we'll make much of Christ. Let's pray. Our Father, we come to you this evening with joy and with thanksgiving and even with awe that these dear ones, Anna and Simeon, as they made much of Christ. We ask that your glory will more and more fill our hearts so that we too will make much of him. And if there are any, Father, who are here or who are listening online, that tonight would be the night of salvation, that by the end of the song, they will say, Jesus Christ is my Lord and my Savior. He is not only the consolation of Israel, but he is my consolation. We pray this for your glory, Lord Jesus. Amen.